Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. If you are struggling with a question and an answer has been elusive, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We will go to your calls in just a few moments, but I thought in light of the coronavirus and the heightened sense of anxiety amongst Americans, anxiety that is reflected in a precipitous drop in the market, although the market did make somewhat of a stabilizing end, at least today. But in light of all of this, perhaps it might do us some good to fast and pray instead of giving in to fear and paranoia. Many nations throughout history have fasted. They have prayed and asked for the mercy of God. America historically has been one of them. In the midst of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln called on all Americans to participate in a national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. I have his quote in front of me when he said, "We have grown in numbers, in wealth, in power. We have grown as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel that necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." Thus said Lincoln, "It behooves us to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." And that is what happened. On April 30, 1863, the American people, in compliance with the request of the Senate and the proclamation of Lincoln, abstained from their ordinary secular pursuits. They humbled themselves. They devoted themselves to fasting and prayer. And this is particularly relevant today as we enter into yet another great Lent. As once again, this year, the year 2020, we engage in 40 days of spiritual preparation for the festival of the Lord's resurrection. During these 40 days, our Lord's words concerning fasting ought to remain foremost in our thoughts. Fasting is not for outward appearances. Hypocrisy is repugnant. But when your fasting is attended by purity of heart, you'll be fully rewarded by the Father. As such, Jesus weaves fasting together with prayer and almsgiving as a triple braided cord connecting us to our Father who is in heaven, and I should add to our flesh and blood who are on this earth. So Isaiah, you might recall, says it's this kind of fasting that I have chosen, this kind of fasting to loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to break every yoke. is it not? To share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? When you fast in such a way, your prayers will rise up as a sweet-smelling savor. Then your light will bring forth the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." The genuine love of God will inevitably stimulate a sort of a reciprocal love for needy human beings who bear the image of God. Though your stomach may be empty, your spirit will be fully satisfied. You'll experience the life of God springing up within you like a river of living water. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, said Isaiah. He will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose water never fails. If you're satiated with food and drink, you're prone to a false sense of self-sufficiency and easily blinded to the needs of those lacking bread and water. But in fasting, we are refashioned as the poor in spirit, illumined to our dependence on God and to the needs of those fashioned in his image and his likeness. The coronavirus is yet another example of how vulnerable we are, how dependent on the Lord for our every breath, how needful to pray for those around the world that are experiencing persecution, hunger, thirst, and even death. Well, with that, let me go to the phone lines, talk to Bob in Effingham, Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. My call is about a call that you had earlier this week about how a Christian could possibly lose salvation. And you said basically we are afforded to partake in graces which will transform you from one glory to another. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand that. If you could tell me what yeah. you mean by graces and what do you mean by glories?
Yeah, well, this is, of course, simply paraphrasing the Apostle Paul, who said that we can go from one glory to another with unveiled faces. Of course, his allusion is to Moses. But what I was talking about there is the church. And the church is far more than an organization. It's a life. The church is the sphere wherein which the union of human beings with God is accomplished. And that's why, as Saint Cyprian succinctly put it, you can't have God for your father if you don't have the church for your mother. And that ought to be a self-evident truth, because it is through the church that God's saving power is mediated to the whole of humanity. And thus, outside the church, there is no salvation, because salvation is the church. And as I've said many times, Christianity knows nothing of Lone Ranger Christians. To be baptized is to be born anew into a body of which Christ is the head. And so in this sense, the church is the center of the universe. It's the place within which union with God takes place in the present life. It's the place in which we receive the graces that are transformational, the chief of which, of course, is the Eucharist or the Thanksgiving meal. It's the place in which the union will be consummated in the age to come after the resurrection of the dead. It's ecclesia. It's union with God. It's the reincarnation of Eden. It's the place in which you and I may access the tree of life in the present, replete with its Eucharistic bounty. It's a bounty by which our nature is unified with Christ, but more than that, unified with other Christians. Now, if you want to get a full sense of what I'm talking about in terms of graces dispensed within the spiritual gymnasium, which is the church, I have a whole chapter on that in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. I wrote this book to answer the very question that you're asking. You can find a copy. It's available for your gift. Check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, and we'll be right back.
The transgender agenda has taken the world by storm, leaving many Christians uncertain of how to respond to a society seeking to dismantle what it means to be male or female. In God and the Transgender Debate, Andrew T. Walker explores what it means to be male or female and shows how we can think through the various views on gender from a biblical perspective. If you want to understand what the Bible teaches about sex and gender, this book is a must-read. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity?, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI. Or go to equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
Throughout history, gender was understood as binary, male or female. Today, Facebook offers over 50 gender options for its members. If you're feeling confused, you're not alone. What is transgenderism and gender fluidity? In a culture ready to label anyone who questions the transgender agenda as hateful and bigoted, how should Christians respond? Christians need to understand and provide a biblical response to the transgender agenda, which is why the book God and the Transgender Debate by Andrew T. Walker is a resource every Christian must read to understand the issue of transgenderism and what the Bible actually says about gender identity. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity? Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Rachel in Huntsville, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call. I've got a quick question. I don't know if it's true or false. I was told I've never been able to find it in the Bible, but is it true that China and Russia will destroy America way before the rapture, so we'll be dead in Christ as far as America before his return?
Well, I think your question is fraught with some false conceptions about the end time. First of all, there's no indication in Scripture in terms of what is going to happen to America. So that is not mentioned in Scripture whatsoever. If you read the book of Revelation rightly, the book of Revelation is written to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And Jesus, through John, is telling people to be faithful and fruitful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. And so you have encouragement for those seven churches to not give in to the beast or the woman who rides the beast. And my point here is to say that Revelation, which is oftentimes used to say something about America in the 21st century, is not written to us. It's written to them. But it is written for us. Now, what we can know about the end times is that Jesus Christ is going to return again, that we are going to be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. There's going to be a final resolution to the problem of sin and Satan. And that is what we look forward to. But we should not mine the Scriptures to try to forecast who's going to defeat whom and what is going to happen to whom in the 21st century. So I think one of the big issues with respect to the issue of prophecy pundits who are plying their trade on television and radio is to learn and read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. And so, Rachel, I have written about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. For today's broadcast, let me add something to my answer to your question. And that is something that I don't know that I've ever done. I might have done, I can't remember if I have. But let me give you six principles that are crucial to understanding what the Bible says with respect to the end times. The first of which is that we have to make sure to interpret the Word of God just as you would interpret any other form of communication. And that is in the most obvious and natural sense. And therefore, when the Bible uses a metaphor or a figure of speech, we need to interpret it accordingly. Secondly, we need to listen very carefully to the Spirit who is from God so that we may understand what God has so freely given to us. The Spirit of truth should not only provide insights that permeate our minds, but also provide illumination that penetrates our hearts. A third principle would be to pay attention to the basic rules that govern the relationships and usages of words. For example, in Matthew 24, which is so often misinterpreted by prophecy pundits, Jesus continuously uses the pronoun you, as in you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You will see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. And when we hear that, we ought to ask ourselves a question. To whom is Jesus speaking? Does he have a first century audience in mind or a 21st century audience in mind? And the answer to that question will go a long way toward determining your eschatology. Now, to go back to what I said about the book of Revelation, when the book of Revelation talks about a man of evil or a beast, it is talking about a beast in the first century. But that does not mean that the type cannot be fulfilled with an antitype or an archetype, if you will, in the 21st century. It does not mean that there could not be a consummate man of evil who appears on the scene in our epoch of time. Anyway, back to the principles, if I can remember them. The fourth is to familiarize yourself with the historical context of biblical passages. And let me give you an example. When the Apostle John tells his first century audience that with wisdom and insight they can calculate the number of the beast, his number is 666, not 666, but 666. There's a big difference. That's not a distinction without a difference. Well, know that no amount of wisdom could have enabled a first century audience to figure out the number of a 21st century beast. And then a fifth principle would be to remember that the persons, the places, and the particulars in redemptive history frequently serve as types of Christ. Or, let me put it this way, as spiritual realities that pertain to Jesus Christ. So as Joshua led the people of Israel into the promised land, so too Jesus will lead his people into paradise. And therefore, it is critically important to ask yourself whether you should fixate on Palestine regained or focus more properly on paradise restored. And then a final principle that might be helpful is to bear in mind that the whole of Scripture is greater than the sum of its individual passages. You can't comprehend the Bible as a whole without comprehending its individual parts, and you can't comprehend its individual parts without comprehending the Bible as a whole. And in that respect, it's so critically important to remember that the book of Revelation contains some 400 verses, the vast majority of which contain symbols that have a reference to Old Testament history. So when John uses symbolism such as the mark of the beast, he's drawing your attention to myriad biblical allusions ranging from Genesis to Ezekiel. So taken as a whole, those principles will be very helpful in equipping you to ask the right questions and then to ask the right questions in the right sequence. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Duane in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Duane.
Hi, how are you today, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you for taking my call. I just actually had two questions asked. I had one, but I just got one really short one after. What is the scripture twisting? What exactly does that entail? What is scripture twisting?
Well, what that means is you're weaving ropes out of sand. What you're doing is you are twisting the meaning of the text so that what you end up with is a meaning that is not something that you derive from the text, but rather something you impose on the text. So there are two words for that. One is exegesis, that's taking out of the text what the Holy Spirit has placed there. And the other is eisegesis, that is taking a paradigm, whatever the paradigm happens to be, and imposing that paradigm on the text. I only have about a minute, so very quickly your follow-up.
Okay, what is a good Bible to have?
Well, you know, there are a number of good Bibles. I really like the New King James Version of the Bible. Years ago, I did a legacy study Bible. Basically, it's an inductive way of reading the Bible. and there are introductions to each book of the Bible. I do very much appreciate the Orthodox Study Bible. It's been particularly helpful to me over the last few years. I've found as I have gone through that as a sort of a new resource over the last 4 or 5 years, it has been very enlightening, insightful. There are terrific articles within the Orthodox Study Bible. So I highly recommend that as a study Bible. It's one of the best on the market today. Unfortunately, Dwayne and everybody else listening in, we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We thank you so much for praying for this ministry and standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. A lot of people with the coronavirus stop giving because they pull in their reins. This is exactly the time to do the opposite and to trust God, whose arm is a whole lot longer than ours. He can protect us and supply us in all circumstances. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.